The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning, everyone.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening.
Everyone. Yeah. Depending on where you are.
You know, on this planet, you can be in the same moment in morning, afternoon, or evening.
I know it's not officially spring, but it is at our house.
It got very warm here today.
It's in the 70s, and the frogs are singing. They're having an orgy in the backyard. They really
in,
are.
In our pond.
Yep, they're having a pond orgy.
When I say pond, our pond is a very small, it's more, a little more like a puddle.
But it's cute.
It's a small pond. It's not a real pond. Well, It's a pond. Okay.
Today's show is about accessing the moment.
Really?
Yeah.
About living your life here and now, in this moment, rather than thinking about how you're doing or what you should be doing with your life, or if your life is on its proper trajectory. I'll give you a hint. It is. Whatever you have going on is exactly what you have already engineered. Now, where your life goes from this point forward truly could be up to you, rather than you being the victim of the circumstances of your life. But what it'll take is
listening. Well, listening is the key to
enlightenment.
And also accessing the moment. It's so much easier when you actually listen to what's happening in your life as opposed to listen to the internal conversation about your life.
Which mostly is a complaint anyway.
And the challenge is you're smart.
See, and when I say mostly is a complaint, it may not sound like a complaint. It may sound like, well, you just need to go further, do more, change your current life circumstances, get somewhere like this moment. Isn't it? But news, this moment is really it. This is it. This is where your life is taking place, right here, right now. And it will never be different than that.
We had a dramatic example yesterday of a person who thought they were listening when really they were doing a whole other activity. We had our international teleseminar yesterday with all sorts of different countries, and there was a woman there who was there for the first time, and it sounded like she was a young woman, and she was grappling with issues in her relationship. And Shia asked her a question or suggested we were speaking to her about that unbeknownst to her, she was fighting with her relationship and complaining. And she didn't hear what he had to say from his perspective. She automatically disagreed. She came up with all the exceptions, all the ways that he was wrong. So if you're filtering to see right, wrong,
that he could have been me or her boyfriend, it didn't matter. We became interchangeable in that moment.
And what was interesting was she said, no, you're wrong. I am listening. It's just that. And then she had a whole conversation about how his
family
was wrong and he was wrong and that if he would only see the light, which was a complaint.
See, if you're trying to change the people around you,
you're not accessing the moment.
You're working on you first and everybody else second. See, there are three principles to instance. Oh, let's go back to listening.
Okay.
Because we didn't really talk about it.
All right.
Listening requires holding that internal conversation that you have about what people are saying in abeyance. That means you set it aside, that you leave it alone. You just allow what the other person or people are saying to come in. So you're hearing what they're saying without agreeing or disagreeing with it, just letting it in. And that's not as easy as it sounds, because your mind is an automatic machine that sorts by what it already knows, and it will filter out information that it doesn't know as though that doesn't exist. And it will listen for what it knows so it can say, yeah, I know that. So the game is to allow what's being said to get into you. And that requires your consciously, intentionally suspending that internal conversation of agreeing and disagreeing. Oh, I already know that. I've heard that before. Oh, this is just like that thing.
You know, when Shida says suspending that conversation, sometimes it's allowing it to run alongside and recognizing that conversation does not have anything to do with reality. Because if you are agitated or if you're upset, if you're not in balance, that's what your moment is. And then thought happens. Thoughts happen, like ideas that the people around you are not on your side or are not being supportive, that may not have anything to do with reality. And if you include them without listening to them, you can access the moment quite nicely.
Those thoughts she's talking about.
Correct.
You know, it's funny because yesterday I was out on a stream casting a spey rod, a fly fishing rod, a two-handed rod, and I would make a cast and my internal conversation, the voice in my head, would tell me what I did wrong or what I need to do better the next time, rather than notice. And it only said that after I had already noticed it. So I saw what needed to be done, and then the voice had to say it in English to me, like I didn't already know what I had seen. It's interesting how your voice thinks you're a dummy.
Did your voice also compliment you?
Oh, it does.
Oh, like good cast.
That was a good cast.
Yes, it adds agreement for or against.
Whatever you do, it's always talking to you and complaining about one thing or another, either not good enough or good, but you could do better. It never is okay with the way you are in this moment. And the crazy part of it is you can't not be the way you are in this moment, because you are the way you are in this moment, which is the second principle of instantaneous transformation.
Some of you may now think, oh man, I got to get rid of that voice. Well, it's the voice that said, I got to get rid of that
voice.
That's
right.
You can't. It's a part of being you, but you can discover how to access being here and include that.
Yes, but when you really are engaged, that voice quiets down.
It really does.
It really goes away. We've got a caller in Germany. Vin.
Where are you?
Hi there. I'm in Munich in Germany.
Well, welcome to our show. What can we do for you?
Thank you. I was thinking about accessing the moment, and what came up for me was that, so I attended your seminars, your weekend seminars, and also your immersion courses in Costa Rica, and those have been really great experiences, and I could, like, sometimes tell when I got back, like, I had a rule for accessing the moment. I'm like, wow, if I do this, then I'll feel great all the time. And it was actually very funny to see that that's then, again, a rule I'm giving myself for accessing the moment. So
yeah, isn't it funny how your mind doesn't want to let you create or be. It wants to codify things and make rules to live out of.
Yeah, it wants to be in control of your life.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun that you're amused by it. Because if you're amused by it, then, you know, Shai started the three principles, Vin, and we didn't really get to the third one.
Oh, we're on the first one even.
You know, the first is if you see yourself making rules and you resist it, you become rule-bound. And you can, your mind can only be churning out rules when it does. And the third principle is anything you see without judging completes itself. And being amused at that functionality of your mind is a way of not judging it.
Well, you know, in reality, being amused by your life is a very creative and enlightened place, because when you see how you operate without judging yourself, it's kind of amusing.
You know, as you know, because I know you helped with translations both in German and Spanish of our newest book, Practical Enlightenment. And those, the German and Spanish editions will be coming out sometime this year. There's a section in that book where we were talking about Shia had a very dramatic episode in Cambridge, England one year, where he had a transient global amnesia, where there was a period of time where he could not remember anything for more than like 20 seconds at a time. He lost his ability to create current time memories. And to be able to treat that whole time frame, which was rather dire, with humor and amusement is practical enlightenment. So that you are describing that you found it funny, the way your mind is structured, that's practical enlightenment, Vin.
I like what you said about humor, because we get so serious, or at least our minds, which are a survival machine, which are geared to further our survival, get very serious about how things are going rather than being there to see what's appropriate behavior in real time in this moment. Hey, did you have a question you called in?
Not really a question. I also wanted to say that what I said about coming up with these rules, I also thought it wasn't only funny, but I also thought it was very cool that I could see how that applied to other aspects of my life. For example, I sing, as you know, I take singing lessons. And there used to be a time when I thought that after every singing lesson I had to like take notes like really immediately, so that I had everything available right there and could access that again like the next lesson and the next lesson and the next lesson. And I just discovered that it was what was much more satisfying and successful also was really just being there and seeing what was appropriate, and maybe by my behaviors from the previous week weren't really appropriate again the next week, but then something new came up out of nowhere pretty much, and that was actually a very cool discovery too.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to take notes on how to live your life. Your life is showing up newly in each moment. So if you're here for it, you see the appropriate action.
Yeah, very cool.
That is cool. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that today because the next course we're doing in New York City, which starts this Friday, on Friday night, is Step Into Your Brilliance. And it's really not about finding your brilliance, or it's about just stepping into it, just stepping into it.
What if you are already brilliant? And you just have to access that which exists in current time called your brilliance.
Which is what you're describing, Vin. I know you said it's out of nowhere, but it isn't. It's out of you and your brilliance.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I got to say, I went up online and read the description of that course again. I'm coming in for that this weekend to New York. And I really love the description, gotta say.
I love your dedication to your own enlightenment.
Thank you.
Love that you prioritize your life in a way that what's most important is your well-being, and then everything else falls into place. Most people have the idea that when they get certain things or achieve certain things, then they will have arrived. And, you know, you are arrived and never arrive at the same time. Life is this constant new moment if you're here for it. But I know people that say, oh, I'd say, how are you doing? They'd say to me,
okay,
same old, same old. Like, it's not the same. It's never the same. It's always new. It's always different.
You know, I sat down today with our friend and assistant and seminar coordinator, Christina, and I was going through, one of the things she does is some of our financial stuff, and I was going through all of our personal credit cards for last year just to go through and make sure that we were taking off on our taxes anything that was a deduction that was sitting on the credit card. And I was actually really pleased to see all the places that were reflective of us investing in ourselves, investing in our passions, investing in our well-being. Because I don't know how your mind works, but mine still from time to time says, wow, you know, am I worth that? Right before I invest in those things. And I second what Shia says about how he admires how you invest in yourself because it's what you're passionate about, Vin. And I think that's really wonderful.
Oh, thank you. That's very cool to hear.
Could be said thank you because you make what we do right. You are discovering how, by listening, your whole life can transform without your doing anything.
I have a suggestion for you for this weekend. And, of course, for anybody else who's listening, who's coming to this weekend, you can take this suggestion yourself. You ready?
Yes.
Pretend, or it's not really pretend, operate as if you are co-leading the seminar.
Okay.
Shai and I, every seminar we facilitate, we learn many things. We discover many things. But it's not about working on ourselves. It's about accessing the moment, being here, seeing what we have to offer, seeing what we see, expressing it.
And not trying to hold on to what we discover as a new way of life, because it's not. It's only interimly new. It's in that moment that you see it, it's new. But if you try to apply that to your future moments, then you're already out of sync with life. See, life is a function of letting go and creating simultaneously the quality of your life.
Wow.
Shai was talking to me about it last night as he was washing up some dishes, or maybe it was this morning, I don't recall, about going about activities as if they're your idea. So that when you're in a course, it's your idea, and it's like you own whatever activity you are in the midst of doing. If you own it as if you are the leader of your life, you will, as a byproduct, access the moment.
And you will become the leader of your life rather than the victim of the circumstances of your life. That is so huge and so simple at the same time that just by giving up your complaints about how you think it ought to be, or at least how that machine called your mind thinks it ought to be, and discovering what's right there, right now, you become enlightened. And the middle word in enlightenment is light. And you lighten up and you can have fun and enjoy yourself.
Speaking of fun,
let's go to a break.
Come back with us, Vin, and we'll be back, everyone, shortly. So don't miss
being here.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com. Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Kane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at TransformationMadeEasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back. You know, Vin mentioned our workshops in Costa Rica that he attended last year. We just want you guys to know that we spoke to the hotel owner and we managed to get 10 more spaces for next year than we had this year. And that means there's only 12 spaces left in each course for next year. So if you want one of them, now's the time to get it, because we still have 9 months and there are people who will want those spaces. So it's up to you to jump into your life.
The prerequisite for attending our immersion courses in Costa Rica with us is a weekend seminar. And this weekend coming up, the Step Into Your Brilliance course in New York City, March 11th, 12th, and 13th. And also the Hamburg course at the end of the month. We're doing the Freedom to Breathe, which is a one-day course that does not fulfill the prerequisite, but it is an amazing day. The weekend, Tell It Like It Is, The Power of Being Clear and Direct on April 1st through 3rd does fulfill the prerequisite. There's an early registration discount. If you want to come with us to Costa Rica, you know you want to come. If you get your first one third in and pay all the other payments on time, etc., you get a $250 discount. It is really worth it. If you know you're coming, register and make your payments. You can find out the details
on our website at TransformationMadeEasy.com.
You know, before we go back to speak with Vin a bit longer and then take the callers that are patiently waiting, also want to remind you that it is a live show today, and so you're welcome to call in at 866-472-5795, 866-472-5795. And also, thank you for listening. Some of the top listeners for last month were in Frankfurt, Germany, London, England, and San Antonio, Texas. So if that's you, hats off to you. Thanks. And if you're from someplace else, you can always write us a note and we can give you a shout out too. You with us, Vin?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to say before we head off?
Just that I really appreciate your suggestion to co-lead the course this weekend. Sounds great.
Excellent. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you are standing by the water table having a glass of water on a break, or whether you're sitting in the first row or the third row, or you're up front talking, doesn't matter where you are, you can lead in your life. It's awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Thanks for calling in today, Vin. I'm sure there'll be people coming who are like, so you're Vin. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah. Thank you. Cool.
Excellent. Have a great day. We have a caller waiting from Malaysia. Paisia, are you with us?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Ariel. Hi, Shaya.
How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And you?
Very excellent. Very, very excellent, actually.
Perfect.
You know, it wasn't so much the case a couple of weeks ago. I was feeling a little draggy. And, you know, what I was saying to Vin about investing in our well-being, I mean, I was physically draggy, but, you know, when you get kind of under the weather, your thought processes tend to follow. And I realize it's more of a challenge when you're not feeling well to invest. When you're feeling well, of course, the investment makes sense. But, you know, when you're not feeling so well, it's kind of like, well, what's the point? And I'm really glad that I'm practiced, and that the people in our community are practiced at investing.
So, you have a question?
I find myself very distracted today, and I think it's likely because I've been busy. My brother just had his wedding over the weekend, and then on Monday I've got news that I've got a job back in Sydney, so I'm heading back in a couple of weeks. So my mind's just been going, thinking about tasks that I need to be doing, and I just find myself distracting and second-guessing myself and on activities that I want to be doing. Even now, talking about it, I'm still going back to my mind, thinking what I want to say.
Well, you know, Paisia, what if there's no distinction between you and your mind? You make your mind a separate entity, like it's bad and you're good.
Ah.
The eye that keeps going back to your distractions is your mind.
Right. And so you get distracted. But that's because you're not engaged in what you're up to. You get lost in thinking. Thinking has been your primary tool. You've fought your way through school, you've fought your way through college, you've fought your way through problems at work, and so you think about things as though that's more important than where you are. You know, it'd be a good idea to get in touch with the temperature. You know, the feel of the sun on your skin. Is it warm in Malaysia?
Yes, it is.
The moisture in the air.
The smells, the sounds of birds.
What you can see, what you can sense, what you can feel. See, one of the challenges, too, though, Paisia, and I almost hate to point to it because it's circumstantial, but I have found over the years that when you have events like weddings, funerals, reunions, birthday parties,
they
tend to set a person up, even when they're really great events, for some level of being upset.
Or disappointed, or thinking you're doing your life wrong.
I mean, if
your brother got married.
And you are... Yes, you are.
I'm single.
There you go. So,
and by this time in your life, you should be
married.
Yes.
But I'm not really sure that I want to be.
That's right.
Yes. So then it sets you up for this whole round of clashing ideas where you have internalized ideas of what a better you would be like. There's all the posturing that goes on in a wedding where somebody shows
everybody's
up.
Trying to prove they're doing their life right. All your relatives are trying to prove they're doing their life right. All your schoolmates from grammar school, high school, college are trying to prove that they've gotten somewhere.
And then people show up at the wedding and they're worried about how they look and whether they're too fat for their dress or they're, you know. It.
So.
Hey. Yes.
That you're a little distracted is not surprising.
But that being said, being distracted is your fallback position, having known you for a period of time and having done some individual consulting with you because you live so far away. We sometimes have even done Skype consulting where we see you. Distraction happens to be one of your habits.
Fallbacks.
So whilst that is the current circumstance that can push you in that direction.
Here's the thing. That's a great thing, though. It's a barometer for how engaged you are in your life. If you find yourself distracted, then bring yourself back as an act of will. You can do it.
Yep. I'm already feeling a lot better.
I like to tie fishing flies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me to stop in the middle. But sometimes Ariel says, I need you for something, and I put down what I'm doing and just leave it alone, and I'll come back to it later. And all those things that you get distracted with, you can go back to them later if you want or not.
You know, getting distracted can also be a sign of stress. But when I say the word stress, I don't necessarily mean that word in a, quote, negative light. I've noticed that if I go to, for instance, Pilates, and I work, which is our form of exercise, so put in yours, whether it's running or yoga or whatever your thing is, I find at the end of Pilates, when I get out, if I'm the person driving or I've gone by myself and I'm driving the car, I am more prone to be distracted after Pilates. The physical stressing of my body has me be a little spatially disoriented. So knowing that allows me to compensate for that, to really direct myself with more attentiveness rather than expecting driving is second nature because I've done it for so many years. In certain circumstances, like directly after Pilates, it is not second nature for me. I have to be more attentive to it. So if you recognize what stresses you, you can bring more attentiveness to your actions as opposed to float along in life and perhaps create an accident.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, the past few days I've just been running around and I'm also a little bit tired today. And yeah.
Well, the other thing though too, Paisia, even when you're talking about the past few days I've been running around, it's like you keep wanting to go back to your reasons for why you're distracted today, and it may just be that you're tired and you've been running around, but
if you blame it on that, it will continue. You see, the three principles of transformation, instantaneous transformation, anything you resist persists and grows stronger. So if you blame something as the cause when it's not, that thing will stick around.
Another way to say it too is anything you judge. So if you judge being stressed that your brother's gotten married, for instance, or any of the things that happened over the course of that wedding, or you judge yourself for your relationship status, but you think you shouldn't, you're adding a layer of judgment. Like you think you should be beyond all that, or it shouldn't matter. So then you just say these things like, yeah, we've been running around. Like, you don't want to look at things because you judge them as a lesser state.
Or you blame something as cause when it's not. So you can find a solution, or your mind can find a solution, which takes away the mystery of why you're tired. But if you blame your current state on anything, it's probably inaccurate.
I'll give you an interesting example. We wrote about it in our book, Being Here. There's a chapter called A Cluttered Desk is a Sign of Genius. And there was a while where my desk was always so cluttered, and without telling the whole story of it, because the details right now are not so important, I had theories as to why it was that way. And all of the theories were really inaccurate. And Shaya said to me, if you just slow down 5%, it'll probably get handled. That, and I had an internalized idea of what a busy person's desk should look like, hence the title, A Cluttered Desk is a Sign of Genius. And when I simply saw my ideas and slowed down just a little bit, my desk really did take care of itself. And from time to time, it moves toward being messy, and if I see it, I just notice I'm a little bit ahead of myself, and then it's so easy for it to move back into a pleasant demeanor, if a desk could have a demeanor.
Wow. But yeah,
and
definitely.
Hey, Zia, the second principle is you can only be distracted when you are. Your life only shows up exactly as it does in current time, and it's perfect exactly the way it is, even though it may not meet your preferences.
Well, in your estimation, is distracted a good state?
No.
Is it a bad thing?
Yeah, it's a bad thing.
Is bad a tiny judgment?
A big judgment?
Good.
Well, is it something you resist?
Yes, it is.
Well,
yes.
That's first principle.
So if you judge
it,
you keep it in place. You don't just see it. It's not. I know you want to present it more neutrally than your experience of it, and most of us do. We like to try to sweet talk our judgments about ourselves. I'm a little distracted today.
But the third principle is, if you see it, it's over. That was well said.
That was a nice sigh.
Yeah.
I like that sigh.
Sorry, what was that?
I said I liked that sigh. It sounded like a relief.
It is. It is. I feel so much lighter now.
Excellent.
Excellent. Thank you for calling in, Pacey.
We enjoyed
you.
Speaking with you. Excellent. Well, shall we take our next caller before we go to the break? John in Hamburg.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing so great. I'm just really, really enjoying listening to you talking to Vin and to Apasia. And, I'm sitting here in my kitchen enjoying my apartment because we have the semester break, like spring break in America. So I have a little bit of time that I don't have to work right now as much. I go to work with my choir tonight. I lead a choir here in Hamburg. So
nice.
I'm sorry I couldn't get to the meeting last night. I had a show to play, my last show that I play in the State Theater here in Germany, and we were sold out. It was a really great performance, and I enjoyed it. It was my last one, but it was a good one. So.
Well, sold out sounds like a way to go out on top.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was the best way to do it. So I'm really glad we had a big audience.
You were the conductor for that?
No, I actually, it's a show with four people, and I play the piano, and I did some acting and a little bit of singing. It's a show with an actress was the main character. She does a lot of stories and sings songs, and then I play piano, and there's a man that plays drums and violin and guitar, and another lady that plays cello and sings. So the four of us have been doing this show for about 3 years, and we did our last show last night, so...
Oh, that's great. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Hey, you know what time it is, John?
Time for my question or time for a break?
No, good guess, though.
It's time for us to take a break.
Can you come back with us with your question?
I surely can.
Excellent.
Great.
We'll find out what John wants to ask after the break, so come on back.
And don't miss...
Being Here.
Yes.
This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Success, health, satisfaction, now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Thank you. This Sunday in the United States is daylight savings time. The clocks go forward, and it goes forward before you folks in the UK and in Europe. So for the next 2 weeks, we are on March 16th and 20th, the next two Wednesdays. You should be prepared, if you listen live, to tune in an hour earlier. So we will be at 4 p.m. in the UK and 5 p.m. Next week, Central German time. So mark your calendars to tune in earlier.
You mean Central European time.
Central European time. What did I say? Central German time?
Yeah.
Well,
Germany's in Europe.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah.
I have a friend who lives there.
We mentioned it with Vin earlier about practical enlightenment.
Our book.
Yeah, the book Practical Enlightenment. We've been getting such lovely emails and texts and also posts from people about how the book is impacting their lives and how reading it again and again has been so much fun and supportive to people. So if you haven't read it yet or listened to the Audible version, please.
It's there.
Go for it. I think that's all we need to talk about for right now.
Okay.
Why not?
Let's talk with John and find out what his question is.
John.
Yes?
What'd you want to ask?
Well, the question I had, I feel like maybe you guys answered it already when you were talking to Pazia, when Shia was talking about tying flies and said you called him to do something and he just drops it and then he can come back and do it later. And my question was that I've been working with you for quite some time now, and I really am in the moment so much of the time when I'm working and when I'm doing things. I'm really there and I'm really enjoying it, but sometimes I lose track of time and I don't realize how late it has gotten. And that
What's
was
wrong with
my
that?
Question.
What's wrong with that?
Only when I have an appointment to be somewhere else.
I thought when you said how late it's gotten, like you neglected to go to sleep because you were engaged in something. But you know what I do? You have a phone?
Yeah.
We set alarms.
I set alarms. So I can fully invest in what I'm up to without having to be distracted about, well, how much time do I have left? When the alarm goes off, then I know I have 15 minutes to get to my next appointment or the telephone call that we need to make or whatever.
That's such an easy answer. That's brilliant.
Well, life is full of easy, brilliant answers if you don't make it a problem what you've got.
Yeah, our calendar program even sets alerts. So if I have a conference call or, for instance, this radio show, I can be really immersed in something that I'm doing on the computer and all of a sudden up comes an alert that says you have Being Here radio show in 10 minutes. So I know it's time, or you can set it for the amount of time you need or required to collect yourself and get to that appointment, or, you know, and it's just very simple.
You know,
I see that.
It's similar to
That's
how we approach...
clear and direct. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that. It's similar to how we approach to-do lists. We have to-do lists as reminders, not something to keep us in line.
And, you know, we don't put stuff on the to-do list that we don't intend to do. We only put stuff on that's going to get done.
You know, something we're planning to do but we don't want to forget, we don't want it to get dropped out, we put it on the list.
Like a checklist, you know, like a pilot goes through a checklist before they take off. Well, you know, you have checklists for what you need to take care of. And if you do it that way, it makes life very simple.
I have checklists and they work. They're really good. I manage to handle everything I need to handle. But this thing with the alarm, I'd like that. That is a very good idea. It didn't dawn on me.
Well, the other thing is this, John. I hardly ever have a list of things to do. I look at what needs to get done and do it. And look at what needs to get done and do it. And pretty soon there's nothing left to be done. It's done. See, a lot of what takes people's lives are their resistance to being told what to do, even by themselves.
So your alarm could become an annoyance or something you actually disregard if you don't treat it as...
you telling you that you want to do this thing at a certain time. Otherwise, you become the victim. It gets imposed upon you from outside by your little telephone.
Got it.
It can turn similarly to the snooze alarm if you don't want to keep your schedule. Like, sometimes people set their alarms in the morning an hour before they intend to get up so that they can hit the snooze a bunch of times. So part of it is telling yourself the truth about whether or not you actually intend to do the thing you said you're going to do or be where you want to be.
Well, you know, I work a lot in a lot of different cities here in Germany, so I have to catch the trains, and the trains leave on time. So when my alarm goes off, I get up, because I know I have to catch the train. So that's not one of my things, but I can see people do that, yes.
Yes, but John, the train doesn't care whether you get on it or not.
That's kind of true.
Life.
It's very personal.
It doesn't care. The only person you punish by breaking your word with yourself is you, not the other person. It's kind of funny.
You mean not funny, haha, but funny, strange, right?
Yeah, yeah, ironic that when people break their word with themselves, they're actually punishing themselves. When they don't get up when they say they're going to, they reach a place where they can't trust themselves to be true to themselves, so that their word loses any potency or power. See, if I say I'm going to do something, chances are it's going to happen.
Well, you know, the theme of the show, of course, is accessing the moment. And if life becomes as simple as doing what you say you're going to do and not saying you're going to do things you don't intend to do, life becomes a lot easier because you're not thinking about whether or not you want to all the time. Whether you want to do something is not relevant. And just as you just said, if you are going to make the 8 o'clock train,
you need to be up at 6:30.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
So wanting to or not wanting to becomes irrelevant.
Yes.
And that is great, but I guarantee you there are a lot of our listeners who have a huge portion of their lives tied up in do I want to or not.
And if you want to know whether you want to and what you want to, look and see what you're doing, because that's what you want to.
It's interesting. My thoughts have also been turning at least somewhat to having attention to time and project management, because we're doing a course in New York on transformational time and project management coming up. Yeah, that's coming up, end of April, early May. And I realized for me, like before this show, it's also about honesty. Like somebody was supposed to ship something to me and a piece of the shipment was missing. And that do I have time to actually have that conversation, have that call in the 10 minutes before the show, or is that going to put me in a state of panic?
Or stress.
And it's really about trusting that I will complete that, but that 10 minutes before the show was not the time to do it.
You know something, John? It's really about slowing down, not speeding up.
Yes, this last thing you both said, that's really good for me. I see that because sometimes I try to fit something in and it's really not helping me to be punctual.
It's not helping you to be present where you are because you're constantly rushing to get the next thing done. Hey, you know, John, if it isn't done today, it'll get done tomorrow or the next day, or it won't get done at all and it won't matter either. See, John, everything matters. Everything you do matters and nothing matters. It's paradoxical, just like enlightenment. There's a paradox where both things are true, yet they seem to conflict, but they don't.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, Shai and I were in Oregon, and we were taking a lesson whilst fishing with the world's best spey caster. So it's
the world champion.
The world champion of this two-handed type of... And one of the things that I noticed about him was how slowly and smooth everything seemed. There was, when I get in a panic to get something done or rushed, it's generally just a sign of upset, as opposed, or being off center, as opposed to, whilst you and Shia were talking, I had a sip of my tea. We have some coconut chai here today. It's very tasty. And I realized that as I was drinking it, it was a bit slower, and I actually tasted it. So I was here to actually taste and feel what I was consuming. Whereas if I'm trying to get somewhere, all those rich parts of my life are disregarded. So you don't even know. You look down and how did I finish that thing? I don't even remember drinking it, eating it, doing it. Your life is gone and you haven't experienced it.
What's happening, John?
I'm just enjoying sitting here and listening and not... Yeah, it's very good. Just to slow down a bit, and then it's easier to see clearly, I think.
Well, why qualify it with a bit? Well, how about just slow down? See, your a bit is that slowing down is somehow wrong.
Yeah, and that being up to speed in your mind still has value, or the reverse, judging yourself or thinking, I don't know, there's some judgment in there. That being said, I can hear your cadence of slow down, and I feel as if I'm practically sitting in your kitchen with you, and it's lovely.
And thank you for joining us.
Yes. And we will see each other soon in Hamburg.
Yes.
Yes, we shall.
It's sweet. For Tell It Like It Is, The Power of Being Clear and Direct. And are you also coming to the Freedom to Breathe?
I most certainly am.
Awesome.
Excellent. Good move, John. Good move.
Excellent. Yeah, just the freedom to breathe. Breathing here is really good, because Christina's making us lunch and we're having...
We can smell it.
The smells of it are coming up.
And the show is just about to end and
yummy.
We get to go and have lunch.
Okay.
It's just perfect.
Say, guten Appetit.
Thank you very much.
And, thank you all our listeners for listening in today. We do appreciate.
Next Monday Night Alive in New York City is next Monday. We are still in town. The following Monday
March 14th.
And don't forget that about the daylight savings on the 13th. That's what you saw up there. So for the next 2 weeks, on the 16th and on the 20th, tune in 1 hour earlier for our European and UK friends.
And thank you again for listening. Share the show with people.
Yes, share the wealth.
It makes a difference.
It really does. Yes. Thanks for being here. We'll be back next week.
So come on back.
Yes, don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.